want to go to the story. How many of you have heard of the parting of the Red Sea? Come on, we're in this together today. Wave at me if you know the story of the parting of the Red Sea. Right, you help me stay awake and you help me not get bored of the sound of my own voice. So there you go. I want to read a few verses that show us what happened just before. Just before. You know, it's very important that in our just befores, that we are aligning ourselves for the miracle. You know, the amazing thing is that we never know when breakthrough is about to happen. But let me tell you, it's closer now than it's ever been. It's closer now than it's ever been. In those areas where you really need to see change, it's closer than it's ever been. And we're going to look at the few verses just before one of the most historical events in the Bible that, you know what, if you went to children's church, if you were have been raised in the church, this will have been one of the first stories you ever heard. Amen? So, I'm going to start reading at Exodus 14, verse 8b, so halfway through verse 8. And I want you to listen. It says, so the children of Israel went out with boldness. So they'd just seen God break through for them in the most amazing way. And so they were full of courage and boldness. Ever been there? Yeah. You know, sometimes we think, yes, that's it. Job done. How many of you have ever thought, job done? And then you're suddenly, oh my goodness, I thought job was done. Come on. And so they left with boldness. They'd seen miracles. They'd seen God do extraordinary things to enable the children of Israel to leave Egypt. In fact, they were sent out by the Egyptians. They're just thinking, they're probably having a praise party going, hallelujah, eh, hallelujah, oh, you know, because they think the job is done. Sometimes we think the job is done and it's nearly done. And praising is great. But we've got to reach the place when we praise because he deserves praise. When we praise because it's the right thing to do. And so they went out with boldness. Verse 9. The Egyptians pursued them. Now, it wasn't just the Egyptians. This isn't just an army running on foot. I want you to hear it. Because the people of Israel, it's just they're on foot. Right? This is Israel on foot. And then an army is pursuing them. And it says all the horses, chariots, Pharaoh, his horsemen, and his army. So suddenly, things went from, ooh, I'm bold, to it looks bleak. Anyone ever been there? You know, one moment you're full of courage, excitement, and then suddenly, it all looks very bleak. And it says, so they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Verse 11, they said to Moses, is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you've taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt with us like this to bring us up out of Egypt? And then halfway through verse 12, it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness. Now, you know, when we can call a spade, we're on the right track. Let me explain what I mean. When we understand what is really going on in our hearts, then it helps us to find the way out. So here we see the people of Israel. They'd seen all these miracles. They left full of boldness. They were brave. They were courageous. They were full of faith and expectation. And then there was a suddenly. But it was a horrible suddenly. They're marching out, probably rejoicing and singing and dancing. And then they look back. Have you ever looked back? They turn their head around and look behind them. And they see this furious army hurtling towards them. And these people who were once full of faith are now terrified. Now, I want you to understand something. Let me explain what now happened in their hearts. You see, doubt is when I am wobbly or wavering about what I know to be true. So I might wobble or waver, but I know that I know in my heart. And so it might be tough, and it might feel like, you know, a roller coaster, but I still know that somehow we're coming out and it's all good. Doubt. How many of you know and you've experienced doubt? If your hand isn't up, we won't talk about truth and lies. That's doubt. Unbelief is very different. You see, when we can look into our hearts and say, oh my goodness, that is the state of my heart right now, then we know how to go forward. You see, the people of Israel in this scripture, they are not doubting. Shock has hit them so hard, and they suddenly are in this place of unbelief. They now are feeling, oh my goodness, it's over. Oh my goodness, we thought it was all sorted, and God did not come through. You see, unbelief feels very different to doubt. Listen to the way they reacted. Immediately, you see, when unbelief gets root in our hearts, we feel hopeless. Let me explain why. Because when we don't believe that God is there for us, when we have reached this place, when we now think, you know, it's not happened, it's over, then we lose all hope. We feel hopeless. We also feel very sorry for ourselves. Deep self-pity will set in because we believe we've been let down. We believe that it's over. You know, we sang that song this morning. I have believed in a lie that you were unable to help me. You see, when we believe a lie that he's unable to help us, we're in unbelief. Are you hearing me? When we're in that place of, oh my goodness, this is awful, it's over, we're in unbelief. That is not doubt. And we're going to look how to get out of both. But it's good to know, where am I about this breakthrough I need? Because you see, I want you to remember, the children of Israel had had a long journey. They'd been through a lot already. And sometimes we feel like I'm at the end of my tether. Sometimes we feel like, you know, we've done 10 rounds in a boxing ring. And we're like, no, not another fight. You know, I just came out the boxing ring. Please, I want to sit up and put my feet up. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And so that's where they were at. And suddenly there's this punch in the guts from the devil. And they're just, that's it. It's over now. The way you know you're in unbelief is you feel hopeless. You feel like giving up. And you feel sorry for yourself because you think God has given up. You think God is not coming through. And the thing about unbelief is it's dangerous. Turn to your neighbor and say, unbelief is dangerous. You know, the Bible talks about unbelief and a hard heart. When we're unbelieving, we start to harden our heart towards God, towards people who could help us. We start to shut down on the inside, but we feel hopeless. I think a lot of people who get into a battle with depression, who are people who really know God, but they end up battling in depression and they can trace it back to something. Very often it's because suddenly unbelief got rooted in their hearts and so they lost hope. They lost hope for the breakthrough. And so, you see, we need to know, oh my goodness, that's where I'm at. Unbelief is dangerous. You know, I just want to read two verses that you know. Matthew 13, 58 says, speaking of Jesus, he did not do many mighty miracles there because of their unbelief. Do you know one of the things that I think we couldn't handle knowing this side of heaven is how many miracles we missed. How many breakthroughs that were just around the corner, but didn't happen because unbelief. You know, it's interesting. Jesus says in Mark 9, 23, he says, if. This is what he was saying to this man. His daughter has just died. Jesus has a plan. Jesus is wanting, this is Jairus. And he knows that he's got a plan for this little girl. But he starts it out by saying this, if you can believe, all things are possible. If. In other words, it's not just a given. That's why we may all be Christians, but we may not all be believers. Because believing is a fight. That's why the Bible calls it the fight of faith. That's why we need to wake up in the morning and make a decision. If what's going on the inside doesn't align with God's promises, then it's not his promises that need to change. Are you listening? It's a fight of faith. And you know, the other interesting thing about this is about longevity, about the things that we've been battling with for a long time. You know, I love that scripture, and it's in 2 Samuel 3:1, where it says there was a long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. And it says, but the house of David grew stronger and stronger. And I think they'd have just carried on if they didn't have to be careful about the words. And stronger. Because you see, every little battle that was won, even when he was thinking, gosh, not another battle, not another year. And yet his capacity to conquer was growing on the inside. Are you listening? You see, God, very often, how many of you're made in the image of God? Yeah? And therefore, you're made in the image of a great God. And therefore, God has great plans for you. He wants you to walk in greatness. He wants you to do great things. So very often, you are the project. The project isn't the project. Are you getting this? Very often, it's my heart. It's my ability to believe. It's God wanting to deal with my doubt that is actually what God's doing in that moment. The project is just the particular tool God is using in that moment to change you and to change me. Are you listening? You see, the new beginning isn't just about circumstances becoming new. That will come and go. But what if you and I can become new? Are you listening? That is different. When you and I can suddenly step up on the inside, we can see things that once completely intimidated and bewildered us, and now we can look them in the eyes and go, ha, you don't scare me. Are you listening? God wants to do a work in us so that he can do that work through us. But I want you to say that right now. I am God's project. He is changing me while he is working for me. So you are his priority. Your heart, your ability to believe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. See, David was getting stronger all the time. 10 years he was at war. That's a long time, isn't it? 10 years living in caves, in the woods. 10 years he had this word over his life that he would be a king. And instead he's living like a homeless man. 10 years. But David was growing. Stronger. He was growing. Stronger. You see, God is doing a work in us so that he can do a work through us. And David stepped up to be the most glorious king because of the work that God had done in us. Hallelujah. You see, what do we do when we realize? You see, this is what God wants us to reach that place where we know what we're dealing with. You know, I love the story of Roro's Papers. I just want to share it for a moment because Roro had been believing God, praying, fasting. Oh my good, how many meals did this woman miss? Because she was living with us, so we saw it. I mean, she'd do 3-day fasts, 1-week fasts, 3-week fasts. She prayed, she fasted, she believed, she battled, she stood in faith. And then she was reaching the point where she just knew it's about to happen, like the Israelites. Wow, it all looks like it's coming together. It's just all I need now. There's a last letter going to arrive on the doorstep, and it's going to say, you can stay. Yes? And she's just full of faith, full of expectation. And then the letter arrived, December 2014. And the letter said, we've reviewed and we've refused. And she was devastated. And literally, hopelessness filled her heart. She just thought, that's it. I need to just book a flight home. All my dreams, everything I've been fighting for, it was all useless. It's over. And then she got herself alone. And, you know, she knows enough to know you just need to get in the presence of God and hear what God's got to say. And she got in the presence of God, and she heard the Lord ask. Now, it comes from Isaiah 53, verse 1, but it's been turned from the way it's articulated there into a different phrase, and it's powerful. And this was the question she heard. Whose report will you believe? Whose report will you believe? And something on the inside of her said, you know what? I've still got a choice about who I believe. I've still got a choice. And she got up from that place of unbelief, disbelief, hopelessness, despair. And she rose up again on the inside and said, I am going for it again. Do you know, it was just 6 months later. Now, this was after 10 years, 18 years of battling for right to remain in the UK. And then 6 months later, Roro was given her leave to remain. You see, this is the thing. I believe she would be in Kenya by now if she hadn't dealt with her unbelief. You see, God works with us and through us. And he says, you know, even Jesus couldn't do mighty miracles when there was unbelief. But very often we don't realize what it is that we're contending with in our hearts. And so instead of saying, I am going to get this out and I'm going to find the right way of dealing with this and we're going to get into the solution right now. Instead of that, we just feel sorry for ourselves. We believe we have been let down. Do you remember the song? You have believed in a lie. You see, we're in that place and the enemy doesn't want us to know. That's unbelief. He doesn't want us to know. That's what you're struggling with. He just wants us to give up. You remember what the Israelites said? It would have been better that we just died. What, you've brought us all this way just to die? We may as well have remained slaves. But you've brought us here to die. I want us to look at how we deal with unbelief. Because the first thing that we need to do, and in fact, sorry, the other one, Mark 9, wasn't about Jairus. This is Jairus. But you see, I love this. So Jairus heard a bad report. How many of you have ever heard a bad report? Either you see the bad report, you read the bad report, you pick up the phone and you're told the bad report. Something lands on the doorstep and it is the bad report. Are you hearing me? Just stuff around you is looking really difficult. And so he heard a bad report, which is Jairus, stop bothering Jesus because it's over. Your little girl's gone. It's over. Just give up now. And Jesus said this. He said, as soon as Jesus, I love the way it puts it in the New Living Translation. It says, Jesus overheard what was said. He can hear all the things that are being said to you. He knows all the doubts that are being stirred and the bad reports that are being presented to you. He knows and he hears it all. And the same thing that he said to Jairus, he says to you and me. Because he said this. He said, do not be afraid. Only believe. We've got to deal with fear. You know, fear and faith are diametrically opposed. Faith is when we believe in the devil's power. I mean, fear is when we believe in the devil's power, right? And faith is when we believe in God's power. We can't be in fear and in faith at the same time. You know, it's like I often say, so many people say they're praying to God when really they're panicking to God. Ah, God, have you not seen? It's all terrible. It's all full of fear and telling God about it. But you see, what Jesus said to this man is he said, stop. Just stop. My husband created this great phrase called unnecessary emotional energy. He told me off one time when I just immediately started to stew about something. And he looked at me and went, stop the unnecessary emotional energy. Because you don't know the outcome yet. And I kind of stopped and I thought that was so powerful. But very often fear is unnecessary emotional energy. You know, we're being afraid of something that's being told to us by the devil. Who last time I checked was the father of lies. He's a liar. He's a big fat liar. And he hates you. Amen. Remember that. Maybe Jesse Duplantis will sing that song when he comes to Harvest. I mean, you know, I don't have his voice, but me and the devil, we had a tussle and I won. He says, me and the devil, we both agree. I hate the devil and he hates me. Me and the devil, we had a tussle. You got it. You see, he's a liar. And so he's constantly spouting lies. And the first thing we've got to do is look fear in the face. You know, the way to overcome fear isn't running away from it. Go, oh, I'm not going to look at that picture. No, 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 that's too scary. No, we need to look it in the face and go, is that the best you got, Satan? I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of whatever it is you're trying to intimidate me with. He wants to intimidate you. And so the first thing we need to do is resist fear. You need to look fear in the face. Speak back. Fear speaks to you, I promise you. Yes, how many of you hear the whispers of fear all the time? What if this and what if that? And how are you going to deal with this? We've got to speak back. We've got to speak back to fear. And say, fear, I rebuke you in Jesus' mighty name. And I love the way that Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego went even a step further. Because they said, do you know what? We're not afraid of you. You have no power. But you know what? Even if we die, we don't care because we're not afraid of death even. They said, if we burn, so be it. But we know that God's got this. You see, what's the best thing the devil can do? I mean, he has not got real power. In fact, the most power he's got is what we give him. So you see, the number one thing we need to do to deal with unbelief and doubt is we need to resist fear and then we need to reset. You need to resist fear and then reset your faith. You see, what did Moses do? I love this. The people of Israel and, oh, this is terrible. Oh, my goodness, God's given up on us. I've had enough. I want to just sit down here. You know, he ever just thought, that's it. I'm out. Grump. We've all felt like that at times. That's unbelief. And this is what Moses did. Moses got the word of the Lord. What is the word of the Lord over your situation? What is the chapter and verse that God wants you to hold fast to? You know, in our year of new beginnings, we are making declarations. And I want to read what Moses said. He said, don't be afraid, stand still, and you will see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today, by the way. And then he carries on, the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. You know, that hold your peace means... And you shall, in fact, if you can put that up in the Amplified, that hold your peace means you'll stand strong, undismayed, unmoved, refusing to allow your feelings to run away. Are you listening? And then you will see the miracle. Now, I want us to look at one more thing. You know, I love the fact that God just slips tiny little insights in Scripture to make you and I feel that we're not total, I don't know, whatever it is you feel like. Every now and then, I think we all do, occasionally think, gosh, I'm just a total waster. What's wrong with me? I haven't got enough. I haven't got what it takes, you know? But then we see the next verse. And in verse 15, the Lord said to Moses. Now, who's Moses? Mighty leader. Moses is someone who is full of faith, who God had picked, who'd been prepared for years and years and years for his purpose. But even then, God has to say to Moses, come on, Moses, quit the crying. Do you hear this? He's saying to Moses, just like, get up off the floor and stop crying. I love this. I mean, there is a time to pour out your pain in the presence of God, but there's a time to stand strong and say, no, I'm not going to listen to my emotions. I'm not going to be moved as that famous, I think, was it Catherine Coleman who first said it? I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I hear. I'm only moved by the word of God. There's a time when we just need to stand strong and say, I know who's report, I will believe. Even Moses was crying, but it's this next part of the verse I want you to hear. What was in front of them at this point? The sea. They probably couldn't swim. I mean, swimming lessons is a fairly modern day thing. So the sea is still in front of them. Never in the history of the earth had water ever divided before. And yet God says to Moses, quit crying, get up. And he says, and tell the children of Israel to go forward. What's my point? Listen, so many times when we're looking for a miracle, we're looking back at the problem to see if it's gone away. We're constantly, you know, when we're believing for a healing miracle, we're constantly checking, you know, and I'm not saying you shouldn't test out what God's done. You've got to hear what it is I'm saying here. We're constantly focused on the problem, and we're looking to the problem to see if it's yet been sorted. You see, the people, the children of Israel, behind them, they are seeing this crazy army. And in front of them, all they can see is water. But God says, don't look back. I'm going to deal with that problem. But I'm going to deal it in a way that would never, in a month of Sundays, even come into your imagination. Are you hearing me? I love what Prophet Kathy first said in this house maybe 8 years ago. God has 1,000 ways of getting your miracle to you. You know, we don't need to know how God will do it. We just need to believe. And he says, I want you to look forward. Tell the children of Israel to march forward. In other words, you just walk towards water and I'll do the rest. And even when it comes to the miracle in the next verse, do you know what God said? He said, you, Moses. I mean, afterwards, when people talked about the miracle in Scripture, they said, God parted the sea. But actually, what God says, if we just flip over to the next verse, is God said, you, Moses, I want you to part the sea. I mean, that is so mean of God, really. I mean, sorry, Lord, you know, I respect you. But he says, look, you divide it. I want you to lift up your rod, stretch out your hand and the sea and divide it. Moses, do a miracle right now. Will you just get on with it? I'm running out of patience with your tears. You see, God's got this. Turn to your neighbor and say, God's got this. He has your miracle waiting for you, and he's saying it's time to believe. Can I ask you to stand to your feet? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just shut your eyes in the presence of God right now. And I want you to, we're going to pray. Just with your eyes shut. How many of you, you realize that in some area where you know you need a breakthrough, that there's been unbelief or doubt, that there's been a sense of bewilderment or deep sense of disheartenment. Right now, I want you to lift your hands high in the presence of the Lord. And the first thing I want us to do right now, I want you to address fear. You see, we've got to look it in the face. We mustn't be afraid of fear. And right now, just look that thing in the face. And what did the Bible say? That we draw near to God, we resist the devil, and he will flee. So right now, together, just say, in the name of Jesus, I bind the spirit of fear. I resist you. I drive you out of my life. I put my eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. I trust you, Lord. I believe you, Lord. And in Jesus' name, I put my faith in your promise. And I trust you forever. In the name of Jesus, put your hands together for the Lord.